convenient for you. Give someone an elbow, a high five, a big smile, and some love. Amen. Before you're seated today. Good to see everyone at New Life. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you about what the Lord's given me and releasing this burden today. But before I do that, we have a life changer, a very important family member, and all the life changers are important to New Life. Amen. They bring the life around here. But we have one that God has put on mission and will be leaving out of San Antonio to other places for a season. And we all want to give a shout out to Randy Edwards and her family and how powerful she is. We can't thank you enough, Randy. You're a beacon. Amen. Her smile will be season. Amen. For however long God decides to keep her away. And we know that New Life is spreading out into our world. The message of hope, she's carrying that with her, and I know that with all of my heart. Amen. Are y'all ready to be encouraged? I'm going to stay within my niche, and that's what God called me to do, is encourage people. Amen. To remind them how special they are, and you are special. Amen. Now, as I move into the message of what God's given me to release today, if you'll remember last Sunday, we took a visitation to our safe place. Everybody has the ability to go there. And for you that are still trying to figure that out, it's simple and light. The Lord says that to anyone who feel after me, put your feelers out. God designed every one of us with feelers inside, spiritual feelers. You're made up of spirit, soul, and body. You have been given from heaven, of all his creation, he designed you to feel after him and open up the door and let him in. Amen. And regardless of what you've been hearing about yourself, he never speaks negative toward you. He never speaks down on you. He started something in you that he has purposed to finish. He's proud of you. The enemy wants you to see yourself through the lens of being flawed, making bad decisions, saying things you ought not say, amen, and getting involved in things that wish you maybe shouldn't have got involved in. That does not bother our Father. Even though it's not like him to do some of the things we do, the only reason we do some of the things we do is because we're listening to another voice. Anybody know what I'm doing? Well, I know some of you think, well, now we need a psychiatrist. Need to go to the crazy house. But it don't take long for you to figure out that you'll hold ideas, you'll think thoughts that you know are not accurate, don't equal your desire to be who God designed you to be. It's outside of who you want to be, but you're there, you've touched it, you've been identified with it, and the enemy won't shut up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so since he's working overtime to try to diminish how you see yourself from God's lens, to cause you to believe in yourself less than who God says you are, to take away from your true identity in Christ, regardless of how much he works to do that, you still have been given a decision from heaven to feel after God and to invite him in. We are designed to host the presence of God. If you and I can get this message out into our community, and our community into our state, and our state into our nation, and our nation into the world, what do you think that's going to do to the enemy's camp? You're going to do, what's that going to do to people that are hurting and frustrated? 2020 issues. What do you think that's going to do? It's going to bring hope. It's going to encourage. It's going to let them realize once they feel the presence of God, he ain't left me. He's been here all the time. And every one of us felt the presence of God during our worship set today. Every one of us felt the dynamic of God saying, you're my kids. I love you. You're special. And some of you didn't know what to do with it. Others said, you know what? I'm just going to let it out. Amen? It's okay. But if you would, because you and I have been given the opportunity to encourage people to go to that secret place of the Most High and to help people pause for a moment in life. You hear me say it oftentimes for station identification. You know, take a moment and pause and feel after him and let him breathe into you. Amen. The comfort of knowing that you're special and that the burden that you're carrying, you can give it to him and he'll give you something in return. And you'll learn how to ask the right questions. Lord, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? And he's given to everyone in this room identity. He's given us a paid-off debt. He's given us the opportunity to step into our identity and allow him, when we do that, to be king of his kingdom within, so that from his kingdom within us, him being seated in our heart, from us the kingdom can spill out everywhere we go. And where you go, you become the salt of the earth. Where you go, you become the light of the world. Where you go, you have this wonderful testimony of how good God is. He can't be anything less than good. God is good. God is love. God is spirit. And we get to host him above all the creatures of his creation. He chose you to be his house. And the devil does not like you for that. He has a problem with you because of that. And so, how many of you would like to have a testimony? And how many of us work hard at trying to get that testimony? Anybody, don't raise your hand. But I know some of you are raising your hand in your heart. Man, I'm trying to do enough good stuff so I can have a testimony for Jesus. Well, if you'll let me encourage you, stop trying to get a testimony. Well, let's say it like this. Quit trying to be good enough to get a testimony. Just let go, as AJ would say. Just let go. Quit trying to figure God out. Let God give you a testimony. There's only one good, and that's God. Miles Monroe made a statement, and you've heard me talk about it here. I just didn't make the statement like he made it. I like the way he said it. He said, the enemy of right isn't wrong. And some of you are thinking, okay, some ain't right about that statement. No, everything's right about that statement. The enemy of right isn't wrong. Well, then what is the enemy of right? Good is the enemy of right. And if there's ever been a temptation for humanity, that's the temptation to try to be good. Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? There's nothing that I can do to ever earn right standing with God. Mm-mm. His righteousness is never earned that way. I'm talking about you getting a testimony. Right standing with God is only achieved through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to read that today. It's written down in Scripture. That was moved on. Men were moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote. You're going to read that Abraham obeyed. He believed God. He heard the voice of God, and he believed. And because he believed what God was saying to him, it was imputed to him for right standing. And if anybody want to be a child of Abraham, yeah, you do. Everybody in the room wants to be a child of Abraham. That's I promise you. If you read the book of Hebrews, if you believe it's sound doctrine, you want to be associated as being a child of Abraham because he walked by faith. And some of you may think, well, that's just for the Jews only. No, Abraham wasn't a Jew. He was out of Ur. He was a Babylonian. Yeah, he was a high priest in Ur. And God, and he was old. He was pretty old when he finally said, yes, Lord, wherever you want to go, I'll go. And he left Ur, and he walked with the voice of God, kind of like God created Adam to walk with the voice of God in the cool of the day. And because he walked with God, not knowing where he was, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And the scripture says, and finding none, he didn't find it. He maintained his faith in the fact that God said. Is anybody looking for something? Hadn't got there yet, Pastor, but I'm looking. Well, what's keeping you going? You're empowered by the presence of God to keep walking with God. And it was a man by the name of Enoch that walked with God, and he just kept walking until he was not. You couldn't find him one day because he just walked with the Lord right on into life, eternity. And so, we're going to talk about how today about how God gives us a testimony. I want to begin reading out of the book of Revelation. Three scriptural passages, and some of you may say, well, that's more than one verse. Yes, there's a few verses I'm going to read in each one that will help you understand how God wants to give you a testimony. Anybody want to know that? So if you would, because you're this powerful, step into that secret place of the Most High with the presence of God. And don't let the enemy have any place while we talk about what heaven's talking about, okay? Amen? Get all the religious ideas of yesterday, the way you used to do church, because we don't go to church no more. We are the church, right? And since you are the church, let the one that owns the house come in and let the presence of God begin to coach you, amen, to release the burdens that hold you so that he can give you something in exchange. And just keep this before your spirit, Lord, what you want me to do with this? Because he's going to give you the mind of Christ. He's going to give you, let me make it easy, get the Christianese out of it. He's going to give you wisdom. And it's not going to add up to what you think it should add up to. But trust him. And I'm going to give you a few examples today. Is that okay? In Revelation 12:10, John is getting this vision on the Isle of Patmos of not the things to come on this. There was things to come, and it was a letter written to Jerusalem as a warning. But yet the letter is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's supposed to bless any one of us that get it, and we hear what the Lord has to say about it. But in verse 10 of chapter 12, then I heard a strong, loud voice. I'm reading from the Amplified, the classic edition. So it might be a little King James in it. I heard a strong, loud voice in heaven saying, now it has come, the salvation and the power of the kingdom, the dominion, the reign of our God, and the power, the sovereignty, the authority of his Christ, the Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren, he who keeps bringing God before our God charges against them day and night has been cast out. And they have overcome or conquered him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, the greatest event that ever happened. The cross of Jesus Christ. Darkness was defeated. Death, hell, the very keys of death, hell, and the grave were taken. And Jesus won the victory. And he paid our debt off and put the enemy under our feet. That's 2,000. And the good news is, he's our Messiah. He's our hope. He's our life. And you can keep going on with who he is to us. The question is, are we going to let him establish that reality in us so that through us, he can be glorified? Now, if you're still waiting on that day to come in the future, you're going to miss today. This is the day the Lord hath made. Now is the appointed time. This is the day of salvation right now. Don't let today pass you without you stepping up and saying, enough is enough. Amen. Daddy, come to your house. Take over in me. Let me live up to how you see me today. Glorify your name. Is it okay if I get excited about the good news? And let this, as you step in your secret place with the presence of God, you'll start getting on fire with me. And you won't be able to shut up, and you won't be beating people up with God. When you get on fire and you're letting the fire in you begin to express its dynamics out of you, it don't hurt nobody. It's attractive. People want that. They're not looking for a 10-pound Bible study. They're looking for Jesus. And Jesus chose you to be the means by which he is being manifest. It's important that I go away, because if I don't go away, I can't finish my work. But if I go away, I can come back and make my abode in you. He wants to give you a testimony. But all the lies that you keep hearing about yourself, the enemy, the accuser, he's making these charges against you every day. He's talking, but first, before he can do that, he's got to get you to agree with him. Yeah, I dropped the ball. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was a part of that. And he's got to get you to agree with that belongs to you. Is anybody tracking? He can get you to agree that this vice, this addiction, this sickness belongs to you. He's got you boxed in now. Now he can take it because of your agreement. That's how powerful you are. And he can make his charge. And he can keep accusing you. And he gets to live up here around you instead of under your feet. Is anybody tracking? But you got another day, because this is the day of the Lord, and his mercies are new every morning. He's given you breath today, because you could stand up and shake yourself. I'm not living like that. I did yesterday. Today's a different day. Okay, Daddy. It's this new ground. I've never been here before. I never walked on water, so here you go. If I start sinking, you're going to have to catch me. And he's saying, come on, let's do this. He's looking for his resting place. And you're his resting place. But for me to let him rest, I've got to let him give me the experience of rest. Amen? I get to do that. And so anybody understanding the book of Revelation, you begin to see that it's Jesus Christ revealing himself to his church. Amen? So, The enemy of right isn't wrong. Satan's lie that he keeps arguing to you about good versus evil, that gets you trying to measure out life in such a way that you decide, well, this equals good and this is evil. And the moment you come into an agreement with what equals good and what equals evil, you're already boxed in. The temptation now to live up to what you have determined good equals becomes your prison. And it turns into a form of godliness that has no power. Amen? And it becomes the enemy's lie that causes you to deny Christ. Because he's much better than your idea of what good equals. Pastor, now, For some reason, I believe that's the truth, but I can't figure it out. That's right. You'll never figure God out. He's much better than your idea of good, and yet God is good. I need a testimony. And the only way I can have it is I become the resting place of God. The moment I let God have his resting place and I experience the presence of God, which is rest, all of a sudden the potential of a testimony is present and anything can happen. John 10. This is what Jesus has. Now, we want to develop this testimony, right, for the kingdom. In John 10 and 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the door for this man, and the sheep listen to his voice and heed it. And he calls his own sheep by name. Y'all catch this. Do you hear him calling you by name? Because he's been trying to get you to agree with him on who he calls you by. And brings them out. When he has brought his own sheep aside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is Jesus talking, by the way. They will never, on any account, follow a stranger, but will run away from the stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. Verse 16. Jesus says, I have other sheep besides these that are not of the fold. I must bring and impel them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will heed my call. And so there will be one flock under one shepherd. Jesus is letting them know the kingdom of God hadn't been ushered in yet. He's walking around in flesh, and he's demonstrating what he's expectation of from everyone that would follow him. This is how you're going to do it. This is how you're going to live it. This is how you're going to respond. This is how you're going to have dominion and authority. So he demonstrates it, and then he goes, pays our debt. He didn't ask us to go to the cross. He did ask us to take our own cross up and follow him, but he didn't ask anybody in this room to be the Messiah. He pays the debt off so that we can step back into our redeemed identity through his blood and be an overcomer through that blood and the word of our testimony. So if you're not winning, it's not God's fault, and I don't mean that to be a knife to cut deep. I mean that to challenge you. If I'm experiencing loss, frustration, depression, anxiety, and the list goes on, it's not because of Jesus. It's because I won't listen and follow. My sheep hear my voice, and they heed my call. And I get out in front of them, and I walk, and they follow me. And we live up to the identity of the one whom we follow. Now, just for your help here today, again, temptation is real because everybody wants to be intelligent, right? Pastor Lowe, don't give me trick questions. But he lets us off the hook of being intelligent. Don't mean I'm not going to read and get more information. But if you're going to gather information, let the Spirit of God be the lead on this, okay? Hear me. He lets us off the hook, and he refers to us as sheep. How dumb can you get? You ever heard the phrase, dumb as a sheep? Or dumb as a goat? Hard-headed as a donkey. But he lets us off the hook, and he likens us to sheep. And he lets us know, I'm going to make this thing so simple and so light, anybody can do it. But most likely, the intelligent people won't do it because of the temptation to gather information. When you go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and eat, and we all have done it more than we want to talk about, the side of the good side of the tree is the most in trouble group because they already got it figured out, and they don't even know they're in jail. The guys on the evil side, and I know I'm messed up. I know I need God, and they got better opportunity than the ones on the good side. And our world right now uses that balance. You ever seen The Balance? Our world is drunk on it. We need to get drunk on the Holy Spirit. We need to let an Acts chapter 2 experience, an Acts chapter 4 experience, an Acts chapter 8 experience, an Acts chapter 10 experience, a 19. We need to let the promise of Jesus Christ happen in our life so that we can be empowered under the influence of the Spirit to have dominion and authority in Christ. And I won't shut up about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's important that we go to that place in the Spirit where we invite Him in to take over. And don't be okay with just feeling Him. It's important I pause a minute for that. Don't be okay with just feeling the presence of God. Don't get up from this seat here today and say, well, I'll be there next Sunday so I can get my next. It's like a drug. If I can just get back to New Life Fellowship and get my little adrenaline shot in the Spirit, I'll be okay. It'll help me get to the next Sunday. Because Monday's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And God called you out of darkness into marvelous light so that He can put His kingdom on display on Monday morning. That's why it's so easy to get lulled to sleep being around the fire and not in the fire. Get in the fire, be doing two-step. But not because you're hot in the sense that it's painful, but man, you can't sit still. Like I heard when I was a little kid, you know. Man, you got ants in your pants. Calm down. You can't be still when you got fire ants up in your pants. You got to move. Something's got to get taken care of. Amen? And right now, when you're hosting God's presence, you see the world in bad shape. You can't sit still. Somebody's got to hear the good news. Somebody's got to get hope. Somebody's got to find out who they are. And when we're called by His name, and He calls His sheep by name. Man, in 1974, I was baptized in His name. When I come up out of that water, amen, the presence of God came like a fire. And He still does that with people that will let Him, amen, move into His house. He will give them His name. And every one of us are unique in the body. Amen. That name of Jesus encompasses a lot of members, a lot of body members. And I'm one of those members in the body that He set up to encourage. Amen. To strengthen people through encouragement and give hope. While others can walk into a situation and peace follows them right into that room. And the thing settles just because they accept who they are in Christ. And when they walk in the room, that's Jesus that just walked in that room. And He's able to operate as King of His kingdom within. And out of that house that He's resting in, demonstration of the kingdom manifest. All of you all are attracted to what I'm speaking. I know that, or you wouldn't be in this house. You're here in this community, in this house, here in this message because God's setting you up, amen, to have fun and play in Daddy's playground. Daddy is setting his kids up to really have a blast. And he's given us gifts and anointings and callings and prophetic utterances. Amen. He has given us everything we need to have dominion. And there's a testimony inside of you that's ready to break forth. But you can't conjure it up because you're good. And that you've been being a good little boy. And that you've been doing the pattern. Come on, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. Come on, we need, amen, heaven to talk to us today. We need wisdom from above. When you get God's wisdom, you have a testimony. There's problems that will never be corrected until we get the wisdom God has given us and we let God speak it from us. You are the mouthpiece of God himself, and he will not speak through anything else but you. Even if you're acting like a donkey. Amen? And I've acted like that more than I want to talk about. But God still will touch people he's in love with when I'm not where I need to be. And God will work with me when I falter and I stumble. He'll help me learn what it is like to get up and shake it off and readjust myself and align myself with heaven so that the glory can pour out again in my life. I'm talking to someone here today, amen, that you'd like to get over all the trouble, but you're not. And God's going, he's going to use you while you're imperfected. While you have flaws, he's going to use you mightily so that you get delivered from pride. It's the flaws in my life that keep me humble before God. It's the flesh I got to deal with when I look in the mirror that keeps me, thank you for your help, Daddy. You know your boy. I don't even know this guy. But when you get humble enough to that reality, he's always got something that counteracts the flaw that you have in your life and gives you the kind of zeal to push forward. I'm going to read one more passage in Hebrews 4 and 6. Amen? So anybody understand he gave you a free pass and he identified you as a sheep? You don't have to be intelligent. You can just be a sheep and follow him, and the world will change. And there's more sheep that's not of the fold, that when they see you following him, there's other sheep that's going to want to follow you as you follow him. Is everybody agreeing with this? So we'll let him be the smart one, and we'll be the kids. Because he can't make a mistake, and he knows where he's going. I don't know where I'm going, so I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. And I'm going to encourage everybody as I walk through this community. I hope I encourage you today by following him. Amen. And as I follow him, I encourage you to trust the fact that he's the answer. Come give him a try. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Hebrews 4, 6, seeing then that the promise remains for some to enter that rest and that those who formerly were given the good news about it and the opportunity failed to appropriate it and did not enter because of disobedience. Right? He's talking about Israel. Again, he set a definite day, a new today, and gives another opportunity of securing that rest, saying through David, after so long a time in the words already quoted, today if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. This mention of arrest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan, talking about the Jewish nation. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have afterwards spoke about another day. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. And if you need more information on that, Galatians 6 validates that. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors. Just as God rested from those labors, peculiarly his own. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience in which those in the wilderness fell. Verse 12, very important verse. Want to be in our rest, right? Anybody want to rest? He's talking about spirit and fire. He's talking about the promise of God here. He's talking about being born again. For the word that God speak is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God that speaks penetrate into the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purpose of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. His voice cuts deep, and it exposes everything. Anybody want to hear the voice of God? Now, some of you are thinking, man, I already know I'm bad. I don't want him to see any more bad in me. Well, he's not really referring to that. He's referring to the lies that the enemy's been telling us. God can turn the light on in a dark situation. His voice can bring you to a place of, oh, I should have had a V8. Is anybody catching this? It's like the enemy wants you to know, oh man, if you let God do that, you're going to find out how really bad you are. No, we already all know how bad we've been because we agree with the devil long enough. But none of that stuff that the enemy's helped me to agree with, yeah, that belongs. If you can't do anything good, this is going to help a few here today, and you can't take credit for being good because there's only one good and that's God. Everybody catching this? You can't take credit for being a good person because if you do, you just revealed your arrogance. You just stood up to God. And we can't do that. So if I can't take credit for being good, somebody's going to catch it. Why in the world are you taking credit for being bad? The truth is going to make you free. If you experience what I'm saying right now and you get delivered of your intelligence and become a sheep, you'll figure this out in a minute. That everything that's bad happened in your life had a father to it. It come from somewhere. You first had to believe the lie before the fruit showed up. Now, who's the father of that fruit? The devil. The liar. But he convinces you you are. He's puppeting you. But if you start agreeing with the fact, and see, you don't have to do this alone because this is one of the things that's important for us to get a hold of today. In the secret place of the Most High, which you can go, anybody, it don't matter where you've been, Charles Manson could go there right now. Jeffrey Dahmer could go there right now. Is he alive still? Come on, I'm trying to think of people have been labeled by our society. And there were some bad things they did. If I'm going to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I got them nailed to rights. But all people have fallen short of the glory of God and sinned. You start tracking here in a minute. So whatever you've agreed with that's got you so down and out, remember, it belongs to the father of it. You didn't father it. Such as whatever's good that you can't take credit for belongs to the father of that good that worked through you. Is anybody catching this? So why don't we just become the sheep of his pasture and let him be our shepherd and quit following this other voice that keeps lying to us? Because sheep don't follow that. And the reason I would follow that voice is because I don't see myself as a sheep of his pasture. And how can the enemy, he's so good at lying and tricking us, he'll get us to act like goats and go do our own thing. We think we're doing our own thing, living our life. Me, you know, I just like being alone. I don't like being around people. Yeah, when you feel like that about yourself, naturally you're going to separate from the very thing that God, come on, I'm talking to all of us, wants us to be connected with. Amen? I look through a certain lens. It's not my identity. But on an Enneagram, I look through the lens of a one. I'm a protocol guy. It's got to be plan of action. It's justice. And so my lens has been skewed because of the lifestyle and the things in my life that were in my path. But that's not who I am. But the enemy knows that he can convince me to be a one, and he can convince me to live by a plan of action and a protocol that he can pretty well body slam me every day. Because there's lots of people that don't look through that lens, and I can see it. I'm looking at it. It's like, dude, something's got to happen. And instead of connecting with you, I'm seeing what's wrong with you through this lens that I look through. So I have to deny myself, take up my cross, look in the mirror and say, hey, cat, you ain't in charge today. Jesus is going to be in charge. And if you start looking through your lens, you're going to mess it all up. And I'm thinking, well, no, I have a plan of action. Everything's going to get in order. People are going to go to jail that need to go to jail. But with Jesus, and I'm looking through his lens, mercy, release, hope, encouragement. Oh, I see what God sees. Yeah, it's a diamond in the rough, and I only see the rough because I keep having to deal with that lens. Somebody's tracking right now. I want to give you a few examples here so we can bring this thing down. Amen. It was, you've heard me say it one or two times about all of a sudden when I was 19, I got this revelation. I need to be a witness. And I don't know that I'm recognizing the voice of God is saying that to me, but I had this, I want to be a witness. And now I know it was God talking to me. Amen, because he wanted me to be his witness. And I had never put that together. I got filled with the Spirit, baptized in fire, man. And the reason he filled me with his Spirit was for me to be a witness to him. Well, I hadn't put that together yet. And I didn't have to put it together. I didn't have to have the Bible. I had Jesus because he is the Word of God. Thank God for my Bible, in case anybody got offended with that statement. And I read the Bible, by the way, too. But Jesus is the Word. And he wants to bring himself into us so that we become the Word. And thank God for a Bible that can confirm some things about that. Amen? So I got this desire to be a witness. And that's when I began to understand what my unique calling was, because I didn't know how to be a witness. Anybody know how to be a witness? And if you're not winning people to the Lord, that's that Christianese statement, winning people to the Lord. Anybody want to win people to the Lord? Yeah, but that's not the motive behind God bringing you back into your redeemed identity. It's to win people to the Lord. I'm pausing for a minute. Because you might start chalking up, man, I'm a special person. I've won 10, I won 20, I won 200, I baptized this man. Next thing you know, you're just full of pride. You tracking with me? People are going to come to the Lord because you accept who you are in him. But who won them? He did. You just made him available to you so that through you, you could encourage someone else to consider him. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. You see what I'm saying? It's all about what the Lord's doing. And so I got this passion, and I'm saying, I don't know how to win people, Lord. And he's letting me use the idea of winning people to the Lord, that that's my job. Somebody's going to get delivered here on that one. He said, son, just encourage anybody you see. And I started learning that people that I see are in the path that I'm going because he's leading me there. I mean, he's setting up the schedule. He's doing it all. And I own my own business, and he's bringing people in the doors. I mean, he's setting everything up, and the people he's bringing and the people I'm going to see are the people he's putting in my path, and he's just saying, encourage them. Just be an encouragement. Give them a good smile. Validate them. Amen. Make sure they feel value. Serve them. And then all of a sudden, people started getting filled with the Spirit and following Jesus. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Man, I'm finally able to say I won somebody to the Lord. And he said, okay, you still ain't getting it. Is this helping somebody? But the Word of God is sharp and it cuts. I love it when he gives you laughing gas and do surgery on you. Amen. He can love on you and get you through whatever the challenge is. And so early on in my life at 7 years old, I woke up one night. My mom and dad are 24 and 25. They're still puppies. And they got a baby that's 7 years old that woke up and can't breathe. And I thought I was going to die. I didn't think I was going to make it. And I didn't realize that God was a part of that. He wasn't the one taking my breath from me. I didn't know that then. But my mom and dad both had mothers that knew how to pray. And they triggered some remembrances. And they grabbed a hold of their mother's impact on their life, and they done the same thing and said, Jesus. And I'm watching this, but I feel like I'm dying. And they think I'm dying. And they're doing that and getting me ready and getting me in the car and going to the emergency room. When we got to the emergency room parking lot, it released off of me. And they sit in that parking lot, and they didn't know what was going on. And they just sat there and talked to me, and I was fine. And they didn't know what happened. And today I know what happened. That's when God started really causing me to recognize the spirit world. 7 years old, God is allowing me to go through something that triggers my awakening. And I started getting clarity about a little bit more to life than what I see in the mirror. And it woke me up. And all of a sudden, at 7 years old, I have this hunger for God and something beyond what I can touch and feel at seven. And so that hunger for God triggered, and at age 12, I'm filled with the Spirit and fire. And it impacted my brother Wendell so much, and he didn't know what it was. He didn't know what happened. He wasn't there when it happened. But he said to Mom, whatever happened to my brother, whatever's going on in him, I've got to have that happen to me. And the reason he was saying that, because I didn't even have a clue that there were things that were happening that my response wasn't the way it used to be prior to that. And Wendell was watching and said, man, last time something like that happened, he responded this way. And he told Mom, he said, I don't know what's happened to Dwayne, but I got to have that. And that's happening at 12. I'm giving these stories because I didn't know that the Lord was giving me a testimony. I didn't understand that. He was giving me a testimony. And he was being a testimony to others around me. And that's the way it was in school. And I have to attribute to having people around me that was talking on that level, my grandmother. Amen. In ministry. Was in a cocoon kind of like that. But that event that happened to me at seven happened maybe three more times just before coming here to San Antonio. A few of those times my wife was awakened to me going through that. But God was teaching me something, and I needed to learn who I was. And in the middle of being held to the bed spiritually, my breath being taken from me, and I couldn't speak, in my heart, my thoughts were, say his name. And the moment I made my mind up, if I do anything before I go now, looks like I'm fixing, this is it. There's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to say Jesus. And when it come out of my mouth, it released me. Now, keep in mind, I'm spirit born. I'm serving, loving on people, encouraging people. People are coming to God. And so but God's still trying to get my attention on who I am. And then we come to San Antonio and the next level of training. And me, I still, we're in the storefront. Man, I'm teaching the word, encouraging people. And I'm thinking, man, I got a testimony. And God's working with it. But I still don't understand, because I haven't been through certain fires and challenges. Has anybody ever been to the point of death before? Has everybody been in a situation where you're like, man, this thing's about over with? And if God don't hurry up, it's over? Yeah. Three times in the storefront, circumstances happened. God had to intervene because I didn't know how to respond. And we're in a military town. And I found out in a military town, when you're encouraging people and you're ministering the good news and you're letting them know that you can go to a new level in Christ and where you've been, that sometimes there's some military officers that's used to their home being run a certain way, and they're not okay with this new dynamic in their house that just got born again because they don't understand it. And this babies, they cry and they'll puke on you and poop in their diapers and all that stuff. And the military guys don't like getting pooped on or puked on or what. They're going to come up to that little church and they finna whoop that preacher. Y'all got to keep in mind, my daddy was a military guy. He was also a country boy. And he trained me how to respond differently than God would train you to respond. And so God was so good because he knows how to teach us. I get this phone call from one of the brothers saying, Pastor, I love you, but I'm telling you, you need to leave that church right now because my daddy's coming down there and this is going to be bad. And I said, well, we're going to let the Lord have this. He said, no, I'm telling you, you need to be leaving. I said, no, I'm going to let the Lord have this. I don't know how God's going to help me. And when the man walked in the church, you could see he was ticked. He was mad. He was ready to bite a nail in two. And I was fixing to be his focus. When he walked in, the presence of God made him there. Now, I don't know how to handle this. I'm a sheep. Daddy, I'm dumb. I don't know what to do. And if you don't help me, I might revert to my daddy's teaching. We don't need to do that. I'm here for another purpose. And the Lord knows our limitation. He knows how much we can handle. You follow me? The Spirit of God met that man in the foyer. And it was just a few moments he's weeping. And God made a connection with me and him. It happened again. Another military officer walked in the room. He was mad. And keep in mind, all I'm doing is encourage people to get filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And they're going home and they're being babies about it. Because they don't know any better. He comes in the room and I said, how can I help you, brother? He said, first of all, you ain't my brother. I said, okay, how can I serve you? And so he went off. And this time the Lord's saying, I'm going to let him just breathe on you heavy. But while he's doing it, the presence of God comes in as he's teaching me and showing me who I am. And me and that guy are real close to this day. Anybody remember Manuel Escobar? I know I'm taking a few minutes more, but just bear with me. Manuel Escobar came to church with his wife. He was, from what I understand, his communication to me, part of the Mexican mafia. When he walked in, I seen the devil and darkness. He come in and sat with his wife. The Lord didn't tell me anything. Didn't tell me anything that was going on. He come there with a weapon to kill me. And so the worship service is going on, and I always sit with the body. And he decided it was his opportunity to take me out. So he reached in his pocket to get his weapon, and God turned the heat on that weapon. He couldn't touch it. It got hot. He couldn't touch it. And then the Lord spoke to him, and this is what I love about our daddy. He don't focus on our motives or what's wrong with us or our flaws. He says to him, he says, look, if you'll worship me, I'll heal your back. And he turned around looking because it was audible to him. And there wasn't nobody there. And then he paused for a minute. He's trying to figure that out. And he reached back in, and it was hot. He couldn't touch it. And the Lord said again, if you'll worship me, I'll heal your back. And he fits it. That's God. And he went, started doing that, and he said, a hot heat began to flow from his head down his back, and he got healed. And then he gets filled. And he comes, tells me the story, say, I couldn't handle God telling me, all right, that guy's coming to kill you. I wasn't ready for that. I'll protect you and cover you, and then I'll have him tell you what he was coming to do. Is this helping anybody? The word of the Lord, when he speaks, it's sharp, like a two-edged sword. When he speaks, you experience it. It's not this, I got that figured out. No, that's not how he, no. There may be some aha moments, but when he speaks, you experience it. So the posture is to set yourself up to be the conduit of him speaking so that when he speaks, you experience it. And that experience happens inside, it flows out of you. And every one of us are made the same by heaven to understand the language I'm speaking right now. If hearing the voice of God is not on that level yet for you, you're missing out on some wonderful things in the Spirit. And the Lord wants you to go places with him you can't go until you let him come and give you breath the way he gives breath away. And he tells the group that's just before he goes in the clouds, he said, I want you to hang out now in Jerusalem. Because it's going to be here first, and it's going to spread from here to Judea and to Samaria and then the Gentiles. He said, but you hang out until you receive the promise. And when you receive the promise, you then will be empowered to be my witness. And now I can be the testimony to the world. As much as we want to be good, being a good person is not attractive to our world. Being Christ is attractive. Because that's how life comes and ebbs into our world. Some of us have been making decisions of late, and you truly do believe in Jesus. But the decisions we've been making have not been producing the kingdom of God. And that bothers you. It's not validating right standing, joy, and peace. And you know that anything other than that is not the will of God. That's really all that God has designed us to demonstrate to our world is his kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so you can't go apart from hosting His presence and going to the secret place of the Most High so that you can fellowship with Him, release the burdens, so that He can give you in exchange something else that validates your identity. And you can ask for the one thing He asked for all of us to ask, for wisdom, the mind of Christ. God wants to use you to lead people to Him. But they can't come to Him unless they're willing to open up and let Him come and sit down with them and dine with them. It's time for everyone to hear what He calls you by name. When you recognize the name He's given you and you follow Him, you can't do nothing but His will. It don't mean you won't stumble. It don't mean you're not going to make mistakes. All that stuff is just going to keep you more humble and more pliable and more available. Daddy, I got it. You won't be saying that no more as you keep growing. Only way we got this is if you on board, Daddy. Until we can say together in unison, look what the Lord has done. Can we stand?